Hello and welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixon. Yeah, that's just a little thing that I came up with while playing with a trial version of Piano Tech version 6, which I kind of want to buy. My sampled piano is called Ivory by Synthogy, and it's not bad. It's not the greatest, though. It's got its drawbacks, and even Piano Tech, which sounded awesome on certain things, wasn't absolutely realistic and perfect to me in some contexts. So we'll see. Hi guys, welcome to the Should Be Known podcast, and hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying this journey with me, trying to figure out the root cause of depression and anxiety. It's not necessarily what this was meant to be, the podcast, but it's kind of turning into that. I think it's a fascinating puzzle. Yeah, it's nice and intellectually stimulating, and it involves the heart and the mind, and some little spiritual knowledge sprinkled in there doesn't hurt either. It might help a lot, as a matter of fact, so I'm continuing to seek that, and I always encourage everybody to do that. I believe and even know that it will help us with important spiritual knowledge for our own salvation, but also kind of more regular stuff of life, progress in science and technology and stuff like that. I consider this, I guess, to be possible progress in science. What do you think? Are we making progress? I mean, I think so. I personally am. But this is tough. It's tough to think about, tough to talk about. Doesn't necessarily go along with the mainstream, and that's an issue. And it's also just hard to wrap your head around. So I don't know if I have the best method here. I've got a big pile of notes, and then I'm just going off of that, and I'm trying not to read it, although some of it I may do that because I think it might be worthwhile. But here we go. Let's dig in. Depression is hard. Anxiety is hard. Schizophrenia, I'm sure, is hard, and the list goes on. Again, the thing is, self-deception results from our choices, but it also results from not our choices. And how do you really tell the difference? Who knows the choices a person has made besides that person and God? Maybe somebody, but probably not. Period. Okay. So you really kind of don't know. And that's, as far as judging people or whatever, that's kind of the end of it, is it not? Okay, let's read this paragraph. What causes depression? Does it really begin with the lie? Or can chemistry come first and then the lie come after that? It doesn't really make sense. I can't really see how that would make sense. Chemistry first? No, how would that happen? You feel miserable and then something else happens mentally? There is a physical aspect to it, but that's not the misery. Sure, it's miserable to feel physically bad, but pain or physical discomfort don't equal the misery that's felt with depression or anxiety. No, no, no. That misery comes from the lie. There's a mechanism here. It's not just one big blob. It's not just a collection of symptoms and so forth. There's an essence to it. It's all connected logically, physiologically and mentally, spiritually. It's all connected, but not as a blob. Rather, the different parts are connected to each other in different ways, and that's what we need to discover. Like a car is all connected, but not all the parts are connected to each other in the same way. No, indeed, there are electrical connections, and there are physical connections and mechanical connections of different types. A car is actually kind of complex. If we can't judge whether a person is self-deceived as a result of their choices or not, period, as I said before, what does that mean? Well, partly maybe that it's not a matter of reversing past choices in order to escape depression and anxiety, but but rather it's to make new choices that are different and purposeful in the right direction. Also, that it's not totally fruitful to judge or condemn, since that very well might not be the issue. Which did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That comes to mind. And in that case, neither. It's interesting that whoever asked Jesus that assumed it was one or the other, and of course it was neither. The question was framed wrong. It was like all those other philosophical questions we've discussed, which are framed wrong in the first place, therefore have no answer, or rather have a multiplicity of possible answers, none of which is right. Such is philosophy. Well, at least some of philosophy, much of it, unfortunately. But we can take that pattern and learn from it, and be aware of it. So when we run into this kind of pattern in psychology, we can be aware of it and look for a possible misframing of the question. How does it apply to the question we just addressed? I don't know. In any case, maybe it's not up to us to condemn. Well, of course it isn't, ever, right? Is it ever a matter of the investigation we're engaged in? Is it ever a matter of seeing who to blame or condemning the person for what they might have done wrong or what they're thinking wrong or what they might have chosen wrong? I'm thinking not. We don't need to build a theory either on condemning or judging a person, right? How does that work? Does that pull the rug out from under us, theoretically? Are we judging in this theory? I don't think it has to be. We can acknowledge what happens with self-deception without being condemning, right? How do we do that? Just in the kindest possible way? Is our theory flawed or misfocused somehow? Should we call it something other than self-deception? Something kinder? Is there anything? It sounds so bad. It sounds condemning a little bit. It sounds a little too purposeful. Self-deception. It sounds idiotic. It sounds perverse. Sounds like something only a fool would do. But it's all of us. It's just part of life in as much as we're imperfect. I wonder if I've illustrated that sufficiently. I feel like I probably haven't. But it makes sense to me. Here's the thing. Sometimes self-deception is definitely a result of our choices, even our moral choices. I say sometimes. Perhaps some have thought that it's all the time as a result of our choices. But I say it's sometimes and sometimes not. A current choice being made, it's said sometimes. And I'm not sure what to think about that. There may be something to that, that it's in a way, it's a current choice we're always making and you can always undo that choice. I'm not sure what to think about that. And then I get stuck on that paragraph and I don't know where to go further. Well, anytime we're self-deceived, we're going against the light of Christ, which is none other than the truth, none other than the light which permeates all things, which we all have access to, that we all know intuitively and can't escape even if we tried. The only way to escape it is to self-deceive. It happens to all of us, and it happens in as much as we are in the wrong in some way, big or small. A murderer must self-deceive somehow to make the wrong seem right. Either they make the person to be a bigger threat than they are, or worse than they are, or, and I'm speculating here, and I don't know. They somehow deny to themselves that what they did is wrong, or they deny to themselves that it was unjustified or something, somehow. And a student of murders could tell you the different reasons people give. Somehow the truth is denied and the person is left in a state of denial. You just have to. Denial of the truth. But simple contention can put us in a state of denial as well, meaning if you argue with somebody. Even if we're not taught that contention is wrong. Or, more like me, one could be judgmental without being contentious and be in the wrong. Be in denial of the truth, because the truth is that we shouldn't judge either. Not in contention or silently. Either way, we judge and are in the wrong. Whether we're contentious or if we hold it in. You can either let it out or hold it in, right? Which one is right? Do you let it out or do you hold it in? And the answer is, well, if you're judgmental and condemning and contentious or whatever, they're both equally bad, as morally speaking. And yeah, there might be There might be a better and worse as far as that goes, but that's not what we're talking about. So if we enter denial, enter deception according to our weakness and our imperfection, then sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's not as bad. But it's self-deception either way. It works the same. If we learned it from the tradition of our fathers, or if we originated it, so to speak, it's the same. Both ways, we are in the wrong. We're in the wrong. I'm in the wrong all the time. And maybe I'm too conscious of that in a way that's unhelpful or excessive. I'm sure I am. I'm sure that it's its own temptation of the devil multiplying judgment upon oneself. We know that. I know that. How do I be conscious that I'm in the wrong without adding a layer of wrongness, that I condemn myself? Okay, let's look at depression. I say we're in the wrong there, and we are in the wrong. We're in self-deception, and you don't go in self-deception if you aren't in the wrong somewhere, in some way. It's not right to consider ourselves worthless. Well, now it would be, maybe, except for the mercy of God through Jesus Christ, right? We might well be unworthy indeed, if not for that. We might be hopeless indeed. Bad things, anxiety, might be bound to befall us eternally indeed, if not for Jesus Christ. Is this right? I mean, is it right that it would be proper to be depressed if not for Jesus Christ and anxious? Well, there wouldn't be depression or anxiety in the absence of Christ, because there would be no light of Christ to go against. It would all be true hopelessness, true fear of bad things happening to us indefinitely. Fear would not be the same, and depression would not be the same, if not for the light of Christ. It's only deception because Christ did come to atone for our sins and enable us to be resurrected. Does that make sense? Depression and anxiety are made out of self-deception. They're self-loathing and fear or whatever in the face of the light of Christ, in the face of the truth that Christ did come. That truth makes the self-loathing false and the fear false. Boy, how do you explain this to the world? Not going to get it. I don't mean that people aren't going to get it, because many will, I think. But good luck going on like public radio and telling everybody what depression and anxiety and self-deception are. Telling everybody that depression and anxiety are self-deceptions because of Jesus Christ. I'm hoping that at least if I can learn to express this intelligently and articulately, that some people at least will be able to judge it aright. But surely this is the only path to understanding depression and anxiety. It doesn't work without the light of Christ and the atonement of Christ. And I can say that. And I suppose I could say the next best thing would be to believe in a universal truth that we're not allowed to go against with impunity. Now, I say that's what depression is and what anxiety is, but that's just the beginning, right? That lie and that self-deception because of the light of Christ. Is it just the light of Christ? I still don't know. Could be any light, I guess. Doesn't have to be. I don't know if there's such thing as true light that's independent of the light of Christ. I don't know if that's a thing. But anyway, let's just call it the light for a second. I say that's what depression is and what anxiety is, but that's just the beginning. Self-mistreatment, self-loathing, self-hate, self-condemnation, whatever, in the face of the light of Christ, is just the beginning. But that's the beginning, and that's important. But after that, this is where we go. Depression, in its fully developed state, involves a host of feelings and thoughts and even physiological symptoms. When fully developed and persisted in for any amount of time, the pieces come together and what we know clinically as depression happens. Okay, that's the theory. You feel guilty. You don't enjoy doing anything that brings you pleasure. You feel miserable. You feel lethargic. You have thoughts of suicide, possibly. All these things are connected. They originate from the lie that you are worthless. You can't believe that lie. You can't go along with it. You can't give into it without incurring the wrath of the world upon you or without entering into self-deception. That's it. And this is depression. Do you think that's right? Does that ring true? And anxiety is akin to it. Bad things are bound to happen to you. Misery is your destiny. Hope is not yours to be had. Is this it? I need to hit this nail on the head. Is that the lie of anxiety? I want to positively identify it and isolate it. But I think this is basically it. We're close if we're not there. Let's try out this last paragraph. Yes, so the fear we're talking about is false fear. And the hopelessness is false. Because of Christ, bad things are not bound to happen to us forever, and we're not worthless. I remember the words of a prophet who said, things have a way of working out. A prophet said that. And it always makes me think, is that an anti-anxiety truth? The idea that things are going to work out. Because anxiety says things are not going to work out, right? It's the opposite of that. Okay, anyway, let's talk about anxiety a second. Anxiety is not the same as regular fear because it is false fear. True fear, well, it's one thing. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure what fear is legitimate, frankly, because, right, the Savior was on the boat with all the people who were afraid that they were going to get swallowed up in the sea, and I think most people would agree that that was pretty legitimate of them to have that fear, but Christ kind of rebuked them, and he rebuked the sea, but he said something about them not having enough faith. Doubt not, fear not. So I'm not sure what is appropriate, but it seems to me anxiety, well, I know it doesn't just seem, I know it's a self-deception, meaning there must be something wrong with it. Okay. All right, guys, that's the end of my notes. Yeah, this is the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixton. I hope you enjoyed that. And maybe I shouldn't have ended quite that abruptly. I guess, can I recap some of the insight from this episode? And I did feel like there was some valuable insight as I was writing it. There wouldn't be self-deception without the light of Christ. If it weren't for the truth and the fact that we know it deep down inside, know what I mean? If it weren't that Christ came and made everything better for us, and I'm not sure what that has to do with us being worthless or not, because, I mean, weren't we worth everything already, whether Christ came or not? I'm not sure how that works. But on the anxiety side, and maybe somebody out there knows and can tell me, but on the anxiety side, he made everything better. Not that life won't be hard, not that life isn't extremely difficult, and not that it doesn't test us and try us in a way that not only, I think, tests us, but really makes us better, right? But not only, am I getting off track? I'm getting off track. All right, guys, it's been real. It's been great. I hope you enjoyed it and hope we're moving forward. I think we are. I know we are. Have a great day. I'm Clayton Pixton. This is the Should Be Known podcast. Bye.